Welcome to this podcast. My name is Emily Overacker, and today we will be discussing Johann Sebastian Bach and his three flute sonatas. I'd like to give a disclaimer before I begin. I apologize for any mispronunciations of places, pieces, and names. Johann Sebastian Bach was a German composer and musician. He was born in 1685 into a family of musical composers. He is regarded as one of the greatest composers of all time. He was a proficient organist and string player. There are four distinguishable periods during Bach's life, the first being the Ernstadt period from 1703 to 1707, the second being the Mühlhausen period from 1707 to 1709, the third being the Weimar period from 1709 to 1717, and the fourth being the Cöthen period from 1717 to 1728. During the first period, Bach left where he worked in 2005 and walked 200 miles and didn't come back to the city until 1706. This angered where he worked because when he returned, he had composed no pieces like he had promised. During that same period, Bach had a brawl in the streets, very unusual for what you would think of a musician. During this time period, he was also a director at a church. During the second period, Mühlhausen, Bach got married to his cousin, yes, his actual cousin, as strange as that may be. He produced a bunch of cantatas and also a D major prelude and fugue written during this time. He wrote the Passa Cingala, which was an instrumental piece with a drone underneath it. During the third period, Bach wrote the Hunt Cantata and decided to stay in the city where he was. He became friends with the concertmaster and produced more string pieces. During the fourth period, Bach started writing more orchestral pieces. He finished the well-tempered Clavier, and it is also the period in which his wife died. Then he got married 5 months later and was also paid by a prince to compose music for his courts. Bach's musical style is very distinct and recognizable. He composed many instrumental and vocal pieces. He worked in his German style with help from his skills with counterpoint, harmonic, and motivic organization. He drew textures, forms, and rhythms from Italy and France. He wrote both sacred music for the church and secular pieces, Latin church music, sonatas, motets, suites, concertos, and church music are just a few examples of some forms of Bach's work. The tonal system developed during part of Bach's musical time, so you can hear four-part harmonies in his pieces, even though the popularity of it predated its time. Modulations, which is changing keys throughout a piece, is something that Bach did that was not very relevant for the time. Ornamentation can also be heard in Bach's pieces, and sometimes it's not even in the solo piece, but in the piano part. I'd like to note before I start the sonatas that there are many aspects of Bach's style and many aspects of his sonatas that are very continuous throughout all of the sonatas that might not be mentioned in every single one just because of the repetition of it all. So do note that a lot of Bach's musical style notes I mentioned before and in some of the other pieces might not be mentioned for another one, but might have been present. The first sonata we will be discussing is Bach's Flute Sonata No. 4 in C major, written in 1731. There are four movements to the sonata. Movement 1, which is made up of Andante and Presto. Movement 2, which is Allegro. Movement 3, which is Adagio. And movement 4, which is made up of Minuet 1 and Minuet 2. In this piece, repetition is extremely prevalent. There are also terrace dynamics present. The dynamics may jump from soft to a medium loud before going straight to loud, only to drop back down again, and in some situations go from soft to automatically loud with no crescendos in between. The dynamics add originality and expression in the piece. The movement shares similar aspects within itself. For example, in the first movement, the Andante part is pretty much all slurred and has similar rhythmic patterns. In the Presto part, there are many staccatos, and many of the rhythms in that Presto part are repeated throughout. You see this in every movement of the piece, showing that it was very common for Bach to do this. The articulations and rhythms change for each different style of the movements in order to successfully tell a story. Like, for example, the Minuet 1 and Minuet 2 pieces have a more lively tempo to represent the dances. The minuet movements being present are very typical for the time, since it is a common dance piece with repeats in it. Ornamentation is seen in the piece, such as trills, and in the piano accompaniment part, you hear some homophony. The second sonata we will be talking about is Sonata No. 5 in E minor. It is believed to have been written between 1717 and 1723. This contains four movements, an adagio ma non tanto, an allegro, an andante, and another allegro. It is constructed in a church sonata format. A church sonata format is a slow-fast order of movements. In the third movement, the sonata switches from a relatively major key compared to the tonic minor of the previous movements. In the second movement, there is a portion of large amounts of consecutive 16th notes. The final allegro contains repeats and lively rhythmic themes with internal repetition. The piece does contain some echo dynamics, which is where a phrase is played loudly the first time and then is played softly the second time when it is repeated. That sort of creates that whole echo effect. The first movement is structured in a simple binary form. The second movement has a recurring feature seen in a lot of Bach's work. That feature is the incorporation of concerto procedures. In the third and fourth movements, you see the dynamics come into play more. The Andante is in typical piano graduation of the time, and the Allegro has more dynamics than normal for the time period, actually. The fourth movement is in a similar form as the first movement, but there are double bar lines and a repeat sign that makes it different from the first movement. Our third and final sonata is Sonata No. 6 in E major, written in 1741. This piece contains four movements, all of which I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try to. The first movement has a lot of expressive and elaborate ornaments, including tierces orns, which is in which intermediate notes are added to a falling third, and there are sometimes some trills that are present in the piece. This first movement is a stately movement with a main melody that stretches out in long, gentle arcs throughout. It wanders freely along the staff too. The second movement follows the gallant style popular for the time. It is a cheerful, broke dance movement. It is a good practice of breath control for the player. the third movement, it starts in the key of C sharp minor and ends up changing keys a few times before returning to the original key. And it has distinctive dotted rhythms. During the fourth movement, Gallant Elements, with its binary form and many dance-like rhythms, are present. It has skillful articulation and demands very faultless technique. Overall, Bach is one of the greatest composers of all time, with his style being so prevalent and his pieces being transcribed and rewritten for many different concert bands and solos for all different instruments that they weren't even written for. For example, some of his cello and violin pieces are rewritten for flute solos sometimes. In addition to that, it's no surprise that Bach had such a huge success when his family was pretty much all musicians. He definitely grew and learned from them, and you definitely see elements of him and his son and all of his children in the pieces they developed. We really have Bach to thank for a lot of the different things we see in music today, and it's really important that we remember where all music originally comes from and take the time to thank those people that brought them to light and helped to create the music that we know and love today. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Again, I am Emily Overacker, and this was a discussion of Johann Sebastian Bach and three of his flute sonatas. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and have a wonderful day.